ओम शांति, ओम शांति, ओम शांति। सो वेलकम टू दिस वंडरफुल रिट्रीट, बिकमिंग बाप समान। बाबा समटाइम्स सेज you have to see father and you have to follow father, see father and follow father. So when Baba says see father, Baba refers to Shiv Baba. Always see him, the highest on high father, that is always remember him. And then follow Baba, see Father and follow Father. So when Baba says follow Father, it means follow Brahma Baba. What Brahma Baba did in his life, that we have to also do. That is follow in the footsteps of the Father. So what was the secret practice of Brahma Baba, which led him to his perfection so quickly? Actually, it starts right from his Brahmin life, or even before his Brahmin life. How Shiv Baba prepared him before he entered him. How Shiv Baba prepared Brahma Baba. Actually, Brahma Baba in his Laukik life was quite spiritual. Not that he was not spiritual. But then he was always in a search, searching for truth, searching for God, searching even himself. Who am I? Why am I? What is the purpose of this life? Who is God? Where is He? How can I meet Him? And so on and so forth. These questions were always coming in his mind. And for that, his search continued. He read many scriptures. He went to many gurus with his queries. But he never got a very satisfactory answer from them. So his search continued. And as he reached his age of 60 years, having gone through that whole life in his childhood, he was from a very, very ordinary family, living in a village, a small village boy whose father was only a primary school teacher. He lost his mother when he was very small. So his father looked after him and the other children. But because of his intellect, his intelligence, how from that mediocre family he rose to become such a great businessman, all with his own efforts. He did not get any inheritance, of course, but his own efforts made him into such a big businessman, and not just a businessman, but a jewel merchant, dealing in jewelry of jewels, of diamonds. So, of course, it was his hard work, his honesty, his royalty, his sincerity, and because of that, how the Britishers who were ruling in India, at that time, and also the kings who were having their own little sovereigns in India, how they had that faith in him, and they used to invite him to their palaces for making, you know, diamond necklaces, ornaments for the queens. And also the Britishers, as they used to come to India from Kolkata, Calcutta was like their entry for India. And his shop, big shop, was in Calcutta. At that time, Calcutta was the capital of India. Delhi became the capital of India in 1912. But before that, it was Calcutta. So that was the base. And how he rose to that high status. But then his spirituality did not decrease, although he became so rich. And his search continued. And as he reached the age of 60, a little bit of disinterest for the world came in him. And he said, what are these riches? They are only temporary. True riches, true wealth is understanding God, to achieve God. That he was aspiring for. So Shiv Baba prepared him beforehand. He used to practice to control his mind. He used to speak to his mind and say, oh naughty mind, why are you wandering? Because he was a devotee of Vishnu. He used to concentrate on that image of Vishnu. But then his mind would divert, so he would always, you know, make such effort so that he could concentrate. And therefore, he felt the spiritual life was a reality. Otherwise, all that worldly things, all those worldly things was just superficial. So Shiv Baba prepared him beforehand, before entering him. And how, when Shiv Baba entered in his body, it was something very strange for Brahma Baba, because every day he used to read the Gita at home, you know. In the morning, wake up very early, after a shower, you know, with his family, he used to sit and like read the Gita to his whole family. The whole family would be ready and sit with him, and he used to read. So he loved the Gita very much. So it was not a big practice for him to think of the Gita, because he was already practicing it. So it was not new for him. And how, when Shiv Baba entered in his body and Shiv Baba started speaking, so Baba did not understand who was speaking through him. He felt it was not he who was speaking, it was somebody else. Of course, he did get a vision of Shiv Baba and how he experienced Shiv Baba entering his body, but he didn't understand anything. And when Shiv Baba started speaking, he had the Gita book in his hand and he wanted to open so that he could read, but Shiv Baba would come in his body and start speaking. And he used to wonder, who's speaking? And how is it that this is something very new for me? It was strange for him also. And you know the whole story, how Baba started the yajna. The first like revolution that happened was that everyone would get vision of Krishna, Sri Krishna, through Brahma Baba. They would see Baba and Brahma Baba, and immediately they would see him as Sri Krishna. Or maybe go into trance and be in heaven and dance with little Krishna. So this became a big, big news in Hyderabad Sindh, which was a small town, very small town. And this news spread so far that it became news even in the biggest magazine of America, the Time magazine, in which this article was printed, that in India, in a remote place of Hyderabad, Sindh, in a little village, there is a man who has some magic in him, that whoever looks at him gets a vision of Krishna. And even those who were not in front of him, they would see Krishna, and they would try to go near him, and Krishna would go far away and Baba would appear in front of them, before Krishna, and Krishna would be behind, and Krishna would say with a signal that if you want to meet me, I can't meet you like that. First go to him, then I will meet you there. So this was something strange for even the people there, and then how they used to come. So it was, the start was something like something from a revolution. And then the second revolution was how Kumaris and mothers, they started coming more. They were the ones who used to get more visions. Men did not get, women got. And Baba had actually great respect for women. Great respect for women. His own wife, so much respect he had for her, that not once did he ever scold her, you know, beat her, anger, but that's also a big thing, but not even scold her, not even get angry a little bit with her, or speak with a loud voice, or try to like boss over her. Never, never, so much respect he had for her. And she had so much respect for him, that she used to even, you know, before he would, when he would come, she would wash his feet, so that he's able to sit with comfort. So much respect she gave him. And you can imagine how much respect he had for his wife, for his daughters. He got them married in very good families. It was not rich families, but good families who were very spiritual. So you can understand his life. But then when Shiv Baba started doing this work through Brahma Baba, it was first of all strange for Brahma Baba too. And those sisters who would go into trance, they would bring the message that how it is Shiv Baba, the Supreme Father, who is speaking through you. And this made him realize that really it's that Supreme Father speaking. And the respect for women, because Shiv Baba would say through him that it is these mothers, these women, who will open the gates of heaven. Because he had heard that women, you know, because sannyasis say that women are doorway to hell. If you go near a woman, then we are like the cotton wool and a woman is like fire. If cotton wool goes near fire, or fire comes near cotton wool, it will burn. So women are like fire, and therefore they used to run away from home, from their families, the wife. But then Baba was with his family, and he loved purity too, but he did not realize that purity is a must, you know, because it was not needed. People didn't think of that anyway. But then Shiv Baba, third revolution. So first was visions, second was mothers, women, kumaris, they came and how they surrendered to Baba. And the third revolution was that how Shiv Baba through Brahma Baba like announced that now you have to become holy and yogi. You have to become pure, holy and yogi. Now when this Shiv Baba proclaimed or mentioned through Brahma Baba's mouth itself, and everyone made a pledge, even Brahma Baba himself, because he was in his family, he had children, you know, he was an ordinary family man. And he also promised, everyone in the gathering promised that we will lead a pure, a holy and a yogi life. because they all got visions of heaven and how Shiv Baba would tell them that you have to become the deities of heaven. You have to become Lakshmi and Narayan. So all these visions and the promises, the pledges or the oath they took, this then actually made the general public or the people get very furious. They would say, who is this man? And how is he doing all that? What is his purpose? They couldn't understand. And they would say, these little girls, young ones, they don't know the world. And how Dada, you know, they used to call him Dada. Dada means elder brother. How is this Dada telling them to become pure? Why is he telling them like that? So they opposed. And you know, you hear in Murlis, how Baba would say, it's not me, it's not me, it's not, I'm not doing it. It is that Supreme Father who's directing us to do it. And when that Supreme Father directed us, I was the one, the first one to do it. And then the others followed. So Brahma Baba's speciality of, you know, in through because of which he attained perfection so soon, was that whatever Shiv Baba said, he did it immediately. He didn't say, oh, how can I do it? It's not possible. I have to ask so and so. I have to first be ready for that. No, Shiv Baba said it and he did it. So that was a very important thing in Baba's life. Because actually that was his original sanskar. Whatever he would think of, that he would have a determined thought of, he would do it. I have to do this. And he did it. It's not that, okay, I'll try to do it, okay, never mind, if I cannot do now, I'll do it later. No, no, now or never. This was Baba's slogan even in before he became the medium of Shiv Baba. And that's how he reached such a great height of that big business and jewels and diamonds. So, when Brahma Baba practiced himself and everyone also pledged, it was a big revolution and a big opposition from the community. But Baba didn't care. Because he had that faith that it's not I who is saying it. If I would be the one who would be saying it, okay, I would not do it. But it is that highest power doing. So I'm also following what Shiv Baba is telling me. And then the second thing Shiv Baba told him, which he did immediately, Shiv Baba told him, now whatever property you have, your wealth, your money, your land, your houses, whatever, you surrender it to the mothers. And Mama, she was the leader, the mother of the yajna. And seven other sisters, eight sisters. Shiv Baba told him, now will all your property on the name of these sisters. And immediately he did it. Immediately. He didn't say, okay, let me ask my sons, because he had two sons. And they felt that they had a right over his property. And here Shiv Baba told Baba to just surrender to the mothers. And Mama was the leader in that. So he didn't think, what will my children say? What will my wife say? What will my other family members say? What will the society say? The community say? Just he did it. So this was his greatest speciality, that now or never, and second, follow every Srimat or direction or instruction of God instantly. And that's how he could become perfect so easily, so quickly. So he surrendered everything to the mothers. Of course, his elder son opposed, because he was ready, you know, he was married, he had his own children too, and he opposed, but then Baba said, no, it's God's will. I will do only what God wants me to do. So he could conquer attachment so easily. He could make his mind so stable so easily. And he could work on his determination so easily. So these were his specialities at that moment, which really made him rise so high at the beginning. And then how for 14 years they lived in total isolation, away from the world, and did tapasya. Baba, Mama also did tapasya. Because Brahma Baba knew that whatever Shiva Baba is preaching through this one, I have to practice it first. It's not that I'm preaching, but Shiva Baba is preaching and he's telling me first. You know, Baba always tells in the Murlis that I am number one student, Brahma Baba used to say. Because Shiva Baba is speaking through this mouth. So Brahma Baba's ears listen first. No, when I'm speaking, through my mouth, my ears are listening first. And then this sound is traveling to all of you. So Baba used to say, I will practice first and be a role model, an example. Only then the others will follow. So whatever Shiva Baba said, he did it immediately. And that's how everyone followed him and this yajna continued. And then during those 14 years, Baba also did so much tapasya. And each one of the sisters did that tapasya. And then again, how Shiva Baba gave the directions that now you have to go to India. Because during those 14 years, from 1937 until 1950, so many changes came in the world. The first change was in the form of Second World War, which took place from 1939 to 1945. For 6 years, the Second World War took place. And how did this war finish? America, England and its allies won the war, and Germany, Japan, and you know, so how they lost, those who were on Hitler's side, they lost, and America won. And how America won, how Germany, Japan surrendered, when America bombed Hiroshima, Nagasaki, the two big towns of Japan, and Japan surrendered immediately. And during the Second World War, millions of people died, not hundreds or thousands, but millions died. And it brought a big change in Europe. The communism came and all that, those changes came in Europe. And in India and Pakistan became separate, two countries, on the name of religion. So Pakistan became a Muslim country, but India became a democratic country where all religions could stay. Anyway, but then this organization was in Karachi, which went to Pakistan. And but then it was really a terror at that time for the Hindus, because Pakistan became a Muslim country. And there all the Hindus who were there, they were very afraid. So many came running to India. Some came even barefooted. They left all their property there and came. Because the Muslims were threatening that three options they gave. Either become a Muslim, if you want to live here. Secondly, if you don't, then go to India. And without taking a single penny from here, or thirdly, get your head chopped off. These three options were there. Now, who would want to get their head chopped off? So, and they did not want to also convert themselves, so they came running. But then in the midst of that, so many hundreds of thousands were killed. It was like a big civil war. So when the Second World War happened, and America threw the atom bomb over Hiroshima and Nagasaki, the children used to ask Baba, Baba, is this destruction? Because they used to get visions of destruction, nuclear war and atom bomb and all that. Baba would say, no, this is only a rehearsal. It's only a rehearsal. You know, before the final, the rehearsal takes place. And then when the civil war took place between India and Pakistan, when India and Pakistan were separating, so much bloodshed. It was, can't even describe it. And but the children asked again from Baba, Baba, is this destruction? Baba would say, no, this is only a rehearsal. Because Brahma Baba got visions of destruction. In three forms he saw destruction. One was through nuclear war, atomic war. Second was through civil war. And third was through natural calamities. And during those days, those 14 years, so many natural calamities took place in India, everywhere, all over the world. Even tsunami, even earthquakes, floods, everything. And again they would ask, Baba, is this destruction? And they were doing tapasya in a very, very quiet place in Karachi. How God protected them. Nothing happened to them. And Baba would say, no children, this is only a rehearsal. But then in 1947, the separation took place of India and Pakistan. And in 1950, when everything was settled, the two countries became separate countries. And the Britishers left in 47, and India got its republic. Then Shiv Baba told them, now go to Bharat. Bharat is going to become the world's lighthouse. Bharat is will show the way of peace to the world. Bharat will become heaven, you know. All these things Baba would say through the trance messengers. A lot of sisters would go into trance and get these experiences. And where you should go, they were in Karachi. Karachi is near the sea, the ocean, you know, like Mumbai. So Karachi is on the seashore. But Baba told them, Shiv Baba told them, now go on a mountain top. Because from a mountain, you will give the rays of peace to the world. And this Abu mountain is very close to Karachi. It is not very far away. It's very close. If you go to Peace Park and you see the high mountains and then you look below and just, you went to Baba's Rock, didn't you? If you haven't been to Baba's Rock, when you see from Baba's Rock, there are rocks there, mountains. So just behind that is Karachi. So we are on the western border of India, which is very close to Pakistan. So Shiv Baba told them, go on a mountain top. And immediately Baba decided that we will move out from this place. And see, we can see how Baba made everyone come to Mount Abu. Mount Abu is a very, very special place. It's a very peaceful place, very peaceful. And before, during the British period, how there were kings in India and they had that summer resort, summer palaces in Mount Abu, especially Rajasthan and Gujarat, you know, this area of Rajasthan. All the kings have their summer palaces in Abu. This is like was a hill station for all Rajasthan, this area. You have Jaipur Palace, Bikaner Palace, Jodhpur Palace, Alwar Palace. You know, these are little districts of Rajasthan. So they used to come here April, May, June, and their summer capital was here. That's why they build their palaces here. And July till September, there used to be heavy rainfall. Hardly anybody would live here. And August month was called the month of disgust. Disgust. Because so much rainfall, all 24 hours rain, and so wet. Everything so wet, so humid. The clothes would not dry, nothing. So people hardly lived here. Just 3 months they lived here. And then from October onwards, it used to be so cold, until March. So you can imagine, just 3 months were good months. And so when India became independent and republic, and then all the domains or all the kings, they had to surrender, and this became democracy in India. So all the kings had to give up their kingship, and they were sealing over land. So they could not keep those big, big palaces, you know, which they were here or even there. So they converted the palaces all into hotels. That's why in Mount Abu you'll see these big palaces are hotels now. Or they were converted into schools or hostels for children to, you know, to live and study. So all these palaces are like that, and so Baba chose this place. And Shiv Baba told them, this is the safest place in the world, safest place. Abu is a very big pilgrimage place. Baba tells in the Murlis that your memorial is here, the Delwara temple. How you are doing tapasya here, and your future is on in the ceiling, in the form of golden age deities. So that's what they show in Delwara temple. So your memorial is here in Mount Abu. There's Kanyakumari temple. So many temples here all around. Temples and palaces, that's what is Mount Abu. And also a lot of stories of the scriptures, that how the Pandavas came here, how also in history they talk about Vivekanand coming here, and many, many stories. But then Baba chose this place, and how from 1950 onwards, this became the home for the Brahma Kumaris, the original headquarters, Pandav Bhavan. But then, how then Shiv Baba told Brahma Baba, now these sisters who were now, we say them dadis. Dadis means elder sisters. So, the original Yajna sisters who did tapasya for 14 years in Karachi, now you should send them on service. And Brahma Baba did this. There were invitations from the family members of those who were with Babas, because they had already come to India. And they came to know that the Brahma Kumaris have come to Mount Abu. So they would invite their relatives who were in the Yajna. And then how they would serve there, wherever they were invited to go. I give you one example. Manohar Indra Dadi. She was the director of Gyan Sarovar before Nirmala Didi. Nirmala Didi was in Australia, but Dadi Manohar Indra was the director here. So she also came at the age of 12 to Baba in 1936. And she was in the Yajna in 1950. After the Yajna moved to Mount Abu, she got invitation from her home, her Lokik home, which was in Delhi. And so Baba sent her. Baba sent the sisters to wherever they were getting invitation from, you know, the Lokik families. So Baba would send them. Now this Dadi Manohindra, when she went to Delhi, one example, this could be the example of many, but one example, that when she went to her Lokik home to be with her family, she was such a yogi soul that when she would give drishti, you know, to her family members, they used to get so much power from her drishti. And she used to chant, Om, you know, in one breath. And as she would chant Om, those family members, they used to get vision of a goddess through her. Vision, goddess, you know, like Durga, Amba, Kali, Lakshmi. So God, so they used to get a vision of a goddess through her. And they gave her so much respect, so much respect, that, oh, a goddess has come from the mountains. That's what they used to say. And then the temples invited them. They would call, say that, come and give speeches in our temple. So she would go and then give a lecture in the temple. And in the temple to all those devotees, they used to get such wonderful experiences through her, that her, lectures grew, and she got invitations from so many places, and her students grew like. And then after 1 month, she said, "Now I will have to go back." She asked Baba, "What should I do?" Then they said, "How can you go?" The people told her, "How will you leave us here and go like that?" So Baba wrote to her that if they are telling you to stay, then tell them that you need an apartment where you can stay and start and serve, and then you are ready to stay there. But give her an apartment to stay, another place. Because in a family, Laukik family, how long can she stay and serve like that? So they said, "Yes, we can. It's not a big deal. We'll get you an apartment and you can stay in that and give your lectures, whatever, teach meditation." So in this way, the first center which opened outside Abu was Delhi in 1952. So that was the first center. And then how gradually the centers opened everywhere. But Brahma Baba, he did not go out much. But yes, as he was growing old, of course his doctor advised that because Mount Abu was very cold, so the doctors would advise him that during winter you should go to a warmer place. So Baba used to come to Mumbai. Mumbai is a warmer place. It's near the seashore. So it's never cold like Mount Abu. It's pleasant. It's hot in May, June, but pleasant otherwise. Now it's so cold here, but Mumbai is very pleasant at this time. It's never cold, but it may be hot, but never cold. And so Baba used to come to Mumbai and stay for 3 months in Mumbai. He used to go to Delhi also, wherever he was invited, he would go. Even Mama would go, because Baba would send Mama everywhere. And wherever Mama would go, there too people used to get visions of Saraswati from her, Lakshmi from her, and how Baba centers opened everywhere. So this is how the yagya flourished, and how the centers opened everywhere. But Brahma Baba's special aim was, "I am going to become Sri Narayan." Because Shiv Baba would tell him that you are the first soul, the original soul. And Baba would say that the first soul of Sri Krishna and the last soul of Brahma Baba. So first and last, Brahma becomes Vishnu, Vishnu becomes Brahma. And therefore Baba sometimes says Brahma is Adam or Adam. Admi, that's the Urdu word. Admi means man, human being. So the first human being, Adam or Brahma, and the first deity, Sri Krishna. So how this first man, first deity, and the first devotee, when copper age starts, devotion starts, the first one to start devotion. So first in everything. First in everything, first in creating a new world, first in sustaining the new world in the form of Vishnu or Sri Narayan, and first in starting devotion. So the hero actor. So when Shiv Baba would tell him that you are going to become like this, you know, Baba some every time said the Murli, you have to become like this, Sri Lakshmi, Sri Narayan's translite picture is in the history hall, and Baba used to point towards that. And Sri Krishna's translite above the translite of Lakshmi Narayan. So Baba would see the picture of Krishna, he would be so excited, so happy, sitting on the gadi in history hall. Baba used to, Baba uses the word in Hindi, khagiya marna. Khagiya marna means moving his shoulders, like little children, when they are very happy, what they do? Like this, no? That's how Brahma Baba used to do. Like a small child he would become. So innocent. it was like a new life for Baba, no? Although he was so matured, so experienced in business and Lokik life, but it was a new life for Brahma Baba anyway. And he would be always looking at his aim and objective. I'm going to become like this. This is why Baba always tells in the Murlis, who is ready to become Lakshmi Narayan? Who will become? Everyone raises their hand. But then, do they have those qualities of Lakshmi and Narayan? So he used to practice how to imbibe these qualities. And Shiv Baba would say that you have to conquer the vices. So Brahma Baba conquered all the vices. You know, when we say Baba was our father, as a father, all the qualities were visible anyway. Like Baba was saying in today's Murli also, that a father has to take care of the child. So how Baba used to take care of every child. Each one was Baba's child. It was surprising that not only human beings, but even animals and birds, Baba used to call them children. You know, at 11 o'clock in the daytime, Baba would sit in his hut and Baba would be given juice, fruit juice or, you know, something to eat and to drink. And then a nightingale used to come at that time, every day. She would come and she would sit there and then Baba used to feed her. So one day she did not come. And Baba asked, where is the child? So everyone asked, Baba, which child? Which child? Baba said, that nightingale. Why hasn't it come? And how it used to come every day. And then it was a daily routine for that nightingale to come at that very time. You know, how these birds also, they know the right time to come. And they would come. And the beauty of all this is, when Brahma Baba left the body, the story is usually tell that when Brahma Baba left the body, of course, it was in the afternoon, the body was cremated on 21st, and bhog was offered. Bhog was offered to Baba. In the history hall, Dadi Gulzar went into trance. So at that time, how that nightingale came and was moving around the bhog, you know, and of course everyone tried to push it away, but then that bird would come again and again and just fly around that bhog. And then Dadi remembered that a nightingale used to come to Baba. So what she did, she opened the box and gave something to the nightingale, and after that it never came. So how it came till the end. So that's what I'm saying, how Baba used to call everyone a child. Even a monkey. Baba would say, give that child some peanuts. Which child to give peanuts? That monkey. So Brahma Baba means father of humanity. So give that child. Everyone is a child. So Brahma Baba, the father of humanity, for him everyone was a child. And we say how his drishti became so unlimited. It was no longer in the limitation. This is my child and this one is not my child. Although Baba had Lokik 5 children. But then his attitude, his vision became so unlimited that all are my children. I'm Prajapita Brahma, the father of humanity. So because all are my children, I cannot keep any limits. So how the vision changed, the attitude changed, the outlook changed, the behavior changed instantly. Baba didn't have to really make much effort for that. Because Shiv Baba told him and he did it immediately. This was the greatest thing about Brahma Baba. And how till the end, he kept on serving. Never did Baba say, oh, today I'm tired, I don't want to serve, I don't want to speak the Murli. Never, even once. Even though at the end, on the last day, 18th of January 1969, in the morning it was very cold in Mount Abu, and how Baba, he would come to conduct Amrit Vela, but he got some chest pain, and then Dadiji was there, and she told Baba, don't come out of the room, because the room used to be kept warm, but outside was cold, no, Baba, from Baba's room to come to History Hall. So Dadi told him, Baba, don't come out, stay indoors, stay warm inside, and I will go and conduct meditation. So she went, and then it was early time. Baba wanted to come, but Baba was having the chest pain. And Dadi told him, Baba, should we call the doctor? But Baba said, no. You know, because Baba was attaining perfection. And Baba said, no. But Dadi told Baba, you don't go. I will go and speak something, and then you stay indoors. So Baba remained indoors. And then after that, at about 10 o'clock, when the sun was up, because here the sun comes up and you feel that cold is going, no? Though it's so cold in the morning, but then as the sun comes up, you feel the cold is gone. Anyway, so at about 10 o'clock, Baba went to the office. Ishu Dadi, she was Baba's secretary, and it was a Saturday morning, and Ishu Dadi would read letters to Baba, and Baba would reply. So on that day, Baba replied every letter, because Baba would say children must be waiting for the response, and therefore Baba is going to reply to every letter. And I feel proud to say that how I wrote a letter to Baba in 1967, and Baba replied to me also. I was only 18 years at that time. Baba knew me, of course, because he used to come to Mumbai, and I used to meet him often, and Baba had great hopes in me. Baba would always tell me that Baba wants you to serve the world, he used to tell me. So I remember in 1967, when I was inter-science, second year of college, and I had to decide what line to take, medical line or engineering line, or what to study further. So I wrote a letter to Baba. Baba, my family wants me to go for medicine and become a doctor. So what should I do? I wrote a letter and asked Baba's advice. And Baba replied to me, child, Baba has great hopes in you, and Baba wants you to become a spiritual doctor and serve the world. These were Baba's versions to me. And I immediately decided, yes, I won't go for any medicine, study of medicine, but I will serve the world. But then Dadi Prakashmani was my teacher at that time in Mumbai. And I told Dadi, I want to surrender to Baba. But Dadi said, no, where's a letter from your family? So I could not get a letter from my family, and therefore Dadi said, okay, now you study little bit more. I was only 16 at that time, or 18 at that time. You study little bit more and then we'll see. So I continued studying and did my graduation from Bombay University in 69. And it was on 18th of January 1969 when Brahma Baba left the body, and I was still studying. At that time I got such a big shock. Oh, Baba is gone and I'm still studying. And I decided that now I will surrender. But whatever Baba said, how Shiv Baba told Brahma Baba, Baba did it immediately. So till the end, Baba served. And as you know that the daytime, again, at 4 o'clock, Baba went to the office. There were some letters, because twice letters used to come. Not like today email, but by post, through the post office. So there were letters, and Ishu Dadi told Baba, today is Saturday and tomorrow is Sunday, so no letters will come. You can reply some letters tomorrow. Baba said, no. Baba is going to reply all the letters today. All the letters. And he sat till he finished the letters. And then it was about 6 o'clock. Dadi went to Baba, Dadi Prakashmani, and said, Baba, it's very cold now. And Baba did have chest pain. It went on the whole day. And Baba let us to early dinner and then early class. Otherwise class used to be from 8:30 to 9:30 after dinner. Dinner was 7:30. So Daddy told Baba, just requested, Baba, if we have 6:30 dinner and then class from 7:30 to 8:30. Baba said, okay. And then that Baba conducted the class at from 7:30 up to 8:30. And then 8:30, when he finished the class, he got up from his seat and at the door of History Hall, he stood there, looked back towards the children who were already sitting because they would not leave till Baba had left. So he bowed before the children and said, okay, children, be incorporeal, bodiless, voiceless, egoless. Okay, Baba takes leave. It was the first time that Baba said these words, Baba takes leave. Otherwise Baba used to say, okay, good night, good night. But Baba said, Baba takes leave. And he went to his room and within minutes, about 8:45, 8:50, he was sitting on his bed. And so he did his service till the end. And he was sitting on his bed, Daddy in front of him, and how, you know, his eyes were shut, he was sitting on the bed, and Daddy got hold of him, hold of his hand to, you know, to draw his attention towards her, and he opened his eyes. So, drishti with drishti, Daddy Prakashmani, and hand in hand, and how Baba willed all the powers to Dadiji, without saying a word, and the soul flew to the subtle regions. So of course after that, how Gulzar Dadi brought so many messages, because she was the official trans messenger even before, during Sakar Baba's time, and she brought the messages that how, because Dadi told her to ask Baba, Baba, how did he go away, and now how this yagya will run. So Dadi brought all the messages and how Baba told her his last stage, because he was attaining perfection and Shiv Baba was pulling him, pulling his soul. You are to become like me. You are to become my constant companion. You are to be combined with me. So Shiv Baba was pulling him, the soul. Secondly, his angelic form was pulling him. He was attaining perfection. So his angelic form, and thirdly, last karmic accounts with the body. Of course, it was an attack. So the last karmic accounts with the body, and he was already bodiless anyway. So that was the third thing. And the fourth, he was invoking Dadiji, invoking subtly. Because Dadi had the thought, let me go to Baba. Today is not very late, only 8:45. Let me go to Baba to say good night. And she was in front of him, and how Baba willed her everything. And the soul left the body, attained perfection, became complete. So detached in a second. So detached and loving, after having fulfilled all his responsibility and handed over everything to Dadiji. And then of course Avyakt Bap Dada came, and then how Baba gave all the instructions of how this yagya will run now. So this is how Baba attained perfection. Okay? Thank you. Om Shanti, Om Shanti, Om Shanti. Thank you.